Hello, everyone. Thank you for listening to today's message. My name is Pastor Dwayne Light, lead pastor at the Life Point Community Church. What you're going to hear today is a message from one of our recent services, and we believe that by listening to today's message, you're going to be blessed and encouraged from the Word of God. You're going to be strengthened, and we believe that God's going to speak to you in a very fresh, new, and real way through today's message. So thanks again for listening. Be blessed and encouraged, and we love you. God bless.
Welcome to week two of the Gifts of Christmas. I'm so glad you're here. Just going to say this, Merry Christmas. I'm glad you're here. I'm glad you're here. I know that this season can be crazy and it can be hectic, but truthfully, we're doing what we're supposed to do during the Christmas season. We're here celebrating the good news of God and His Son Jesus. So I'm glad you're here. Last week, we started the Gifts of Christmas with the gift of hope. I hope you were here. If you weren't here, why don't you get online and listen to that? It was an awesome day. Today we're going to unwrap the gift of love. Now, this season that we're in is called Advent. And on the Christian calendar, it's typically the four Sundays leading up to Christmas Day. And it's really a time when we set aside to remember. In fact, last week we said that Advent was a celebration of the past, that we celebrated the fact that Christ came. We celebrated the fact that there was an entire nation longing and waiting for their promised Messiah. And so Advent is a celebration of the past. We also said that Advent was comfort in the present. How many are thankful that you have a Savior to lean on to day by day by day, a friend that sticks closer than a brother every day? That Advent's not just celebrating a baby born in a manger, but it's celebrating a Savior who is quite alive and well with us today. Is that good news? Yeah. Amen. That's all right. Do that. You can do that. That's fine. And so Advent is a celebration of the past. It's a comfort in the present and it's anticipation for the future. We still believe that Christ will come again and that all of the stuff of life that causes you worry and drain and weariness will one day forever pass away. There'll come a day when the Bible says in Revelation that God will wipe away all of our tears. Anybody looking forward to that day? Amen. Amen. So today we're going to start the gifts of Christmas week two with the gift of love. And I just want to point you to Colossians chapter 3. And let me just give you a little background to our text today. Paul's writing a letter to this church, and he says, here's some things that's really important for you to do. You need to be kind. You need to be tenderhearted. You need to show mercy. You need to be humble. You need to be gentle. You need to be patient. He's talking about all these things that this church needs to be. And then he says this. This is in your bulletin. It's Colossians chapter 3, verse 14. Above all those virtues, I just told you to be tender and to be gentle and to be merciful and to be kind. But above all of that, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Father, we just are leaning on you today. We thank you for this truth that we know, that greater love has no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. And it's that love that we celebrate today. It's that love that we rejoice in today. This season, we don't just celebrate a holiday and a tradition. This season, we celebrate the greatest love that humanity has ever experienced. The love of God shown to us in His Son, Jesus. Amen. 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 So last week was the gift of hope. It was hope. We understand that hope was something we can place our hope in Christ in those challenging times, that we understood that hope in a worldly standard is a kind of a maybe-so hope, right? Like, I hope it doesn't rain. I hope, you know, I get what I want for dinner. I hope I get the job. I hope I get a raise. But how many understand that the hope of Christ is an anchor, safe and secure? And that was what we talked about last week, the gift of hope. Today is the gift of love. Now, I need to know who I'm talking to today. So if you're in the room and you're one of those people that just absolutely love and adore Christmas music, wave at me. A few of you. Yeah, probably a majority. How about if you're here and you tolerate Christmas music and, you know, it's, you just know it's part of the deal. You can't raise your hand on both of those. You got to choose. All right, how many of you would say, I'm so glad when I can walk into Walmart or walk into the mall or turn on my radio and there not be Christmas music on? Anybody like that? Okay, a few of those too. Well, so here's what we're going to do. We're going to play a little game. Will you indulge me a little bit as we play a little game? I'm going to read to you some lyrics from very famous Christmas. Now listen, I think I'm going to have to tell Donna she can't play because it just wouldn't be fair. No, you could play. You could play, but you know, she's going to know them all right away. I'm going to read you some lyrics to some very famous Christmas carol songs, and when you know what the title of the song is, then I want you to shout it out, okay? You know, when Mama told you not to shout in church, that's wrong church. Okay. We're snuggled up together like two birds of a feather. Sleigh ride. Sleigh ride. You have met your match. Okay. When we finally kiss good. What's the song? Let it snow. Very good. Very good. You want to get a mic? Help me. Decorations of red on a green Christmas tree won't be the same. Huh? Blue Christmas. You get extra points if you do it in your Elvis voice. Not going to do that. Nobody wants to hear that. Okay. Mistletoe hung where you can see every couple rocking around the Christmas tree. Josh, you were on point, man. In the meadow, we can build a snowman and pretend he's Parson Brown. Winter Wonderland. Winter Wonderland. Okay, who got none of them? Who got none of them? Okay, I'm going to give one for you, okay? This is one for you. The lyric is, all I want for Christmas is you. And the title of the song is, all I want for Christmas is you. Okay, did you notice a theme there? Do you know how many incredibly sappy love songs are revolving around this holiday? It's true, isn't it? It's true. In fact, here's what we know. That contrary to what the Valentine's Day people would like you to believe, more people get engaged in the month of December than any other month of the year. In fact, the number one day people get engaged is Christmas Eve. Number two is Christmas Day. Want to guess what number three is? No, New Year's Eve. Number four is Valentine's Day. So don't spend all that money on candy and roses. Take care of stuff at Christmas, right? We know that there's so much. Listen to me. Now, my wife will tell you I'm a romantic. But I'm just telling you, there's certain parts of this holiday that I can't take anymore. And I'm gonna need some help from y'all because there's some contention in my house. If I see one more cheesy, hokey Lifetime Christmas music movie, Hallmark, whatever, I'm going to literally lose my lunch. You feel my pain. So here's how this happens in my house, okay? I'll come upstairs and Don will be watching one of these Christmas dream in whatever land movies. Do I sound bitter? Do I sound bitter? Okay, I don't mean to sound bitter. And here's where she'll get mad at me. Y'all are going to love this. I'll sit down and watch about 3 minutes of it and be able to just tell her the whole plot from beginning to end. And it drives her crazy. Thank you for coming. You're dismissed. Hey, all right, now that I've stirred up the hornet's nest, would you agree with me that that's not the kind of love that this holiday is all about. You know, it's not the cheesy movies. It's not the songs. It's just not. It's not about, you know, the love of Christmas is not about cuddling around a fireplace, even though there's nothing wrong with that. It's not about meeting under the mistletoe. It's not the fact that he went to Jared. Here, let's do this. Let's not miss the real love of Christmas. You want to get engaged on Christmas? That's cool. You want to watch your, whatever. But let's not, in our pursuit of the sappiness of the holiday, let's not miss the real, genuine, true love of Christmas. Right? See, it started a long, long time ago. God's love story started a long, long time ago. In fact, if you're familiar with the Old Testament, God's love story started in a garden when he created mankind. And the Bible says at the very beginning that Adam and Eve, the first man, the first woman, walked and talked with God, and they touched, and they were close. There was no separation. There was perfect relationship with God and man. And then most of you know the story. We sort of dropped the ball, didn't we? We sort of took a perfect thing and messed it up, as humanity's prone to do. And then the love story of God continues as he, for literally thousands of years, wove this story of love. And you see it all through the Old Testament, where his chosen people would wander away from him, and he would send men and prophets to draw them back to himself. And he even created a whole system for that mankind could atone for their sin and not completely fall out of touch with their Creator. And then one day, an angel came to a virgin girl and said, "You're going to have a baby." And she's like, "What?" Now we've heard that story so many times. Can you imagine her going to her fiancé and saying, "Listen, I know you're not going to believe this." And you've heard the story. You've seen the movies. They're in this manger in a borrowed hayloft, and Mary gives birth to the perfect expression of love, the Son of God. And here's the beauty of that story, is in the garden there was a separation because we sinned and we fell. And then Mary does like every mother's done, picks that baby up, kisses him on his cheek, and in that moment, the Creator and the creation touched again. That's the story of Christmas love. And that's what we're going to... Man, that love turned the world upside down when Jesus showed up. The Bible says that people were walking in darkness, and now they've seen a great light. Jesus turned the world upside down and is continuing to turn the world upside down. So we're going to unwrap the gift of love. First of all, in order to unwrap the gift of love, here's the first thing we're going to do. We're going to accept his love. You might want to write that down. We're going to accept his love. John 3 and 16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." Now maybe you're here and you've been in church all of your life, or for a very, very, very long time. Or you grew up in the Bible Belt, where you've heard this passage of Scripture over and over and over again. Here's what I'm going to challenge you to do. Just as best you can, I want you to forget that you know what this verse says and listen to it again. "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. John 3:16 changed everything. Jesus coming as the gift of God to humanity changed everything. And while it might be easy, because we grew up in the Bible Belt, because maybe you've been in church all your life, to overlook the passage, John 3:16, how many know that message, that God wants people to hear that message? I'm going to show you a video, and maybe you think it's hokey, maybe you think it's coincidence, but I just happen to think it's cool. I put this on Facebook last week. Watch this. Watch this video.
I want to ask you about one part of the book. When you talk about on your eye black, when you wrote 3:16 from the Bible, can you tell the people about the uncanny coincidence that happened in a press conference a few years later?
Yeah, well, we were playing for the national championship in college on January 8th, 2009, and I decided to wear John 3:16 under my eyes, and during the game, 94 million people Googled John 3:16, and it was a pretty cool moment. Well, exactly 3 years later, we happened to be playing the Pittsburgh Steelers in the first round of the playoffs when I was with the Denver Broncos, and I didn't even know that it was exactly 3 years later. It was January 8, 2012, exactly 3 years later to the day. I just went out there and tried to do whatever I could to win a playoff game. And afterwards, I'm going into the press conference because I love talking to the media. And our PR guy jumps in front of me, says, "Timmy, did you realize what happened?" I was like, "Yeah, we just beat the Steelers. We're going to play the Patriots." He was like, "No, did you realize what happened?" I was like, "All right, Patrick, what's up?" He said, "It's exactly 3 years later from the day that you wore John 3:16 under your eyes." I was like, "Oh, that's really cool." He said, "No, I don't think you realize what happened. During the game, you threw for 316 yards. Your yards per rush were 3.16. Your yards per completion were 31.6. The ratings for the game were 31.6. And the time of possession was 31.6. And during the game, 90 million people had already Googled John 3:16, and it was the number one trending thing on Facebook and Twitter. And a lot of people will say, it's coincidence. I say, big God.
Come on now. That's cool. I know all of us Bulldog people don't even want to listen to him, but can I tell you, that's cool. Now, maybe coincidence? Maybe God's just trying to. Did you hear him say 94 million people Googled John 3:16? Wow. Oh, all right, stop just a minute. That means 94 million people didn't know what John 3:16 said. So while you and I overlook it, God's trying to throw this scripture into this world. So I want you to today accept his love. Well, Dwayne, I was 8 years old, and that's when I walked the aisle and I became a Christian. And listen, if you're here and you've never made a choice to follow Christ with your life, man, today would be a great day to do that. But most of you are here and have made that choice. And I'm telling you that accepting the love of God is not something you do one time at an altar. It's something you must do every day of your life. Why would I do that? Listen to me. Because he is for you. He is for you. And what we want to do, maybe not consciously, maybe not intentionally, but because we're so busy, because we have so much stuff in our life, because we're so caught up in the everyday mundaneness of our existence, we take his love and we, not intentionally, but we put it away. We don't deny that it's there. We just put it aside. Because we're far too busy. We're far too complicated. Life is far too. Maybe I can explain it this way. Have you ever had your love rejected? Nobody wants to admit that. But I will. My wife and I have been married almost 31 years. But I must tell you that I faced great rejection at the onset of our relationship. In fact, it's incredible that I have any self-esteem at all. Because I met her, and I And I wanted to be with her all the time. I decided I was, do y'all still do this, like give away your class ring? Is that like so, like 80 years ago? Well, I wanted her to wear my class ring. Okay, they're all nodding now. I feel old. Hang on. And she said very politely, no. I was like, I've never felt this awkward in my life. Now, obviously, it turned out okay. Because eventually, you know, after much harassment and continued persuasion from me, she finally gave in. But do we do that to God? Does he offer us his love on a daily basis, on a moment-by-moment basis, and do we say, no, I've really got other things that I need to invest my time and my life in? I'm going to tell you today that the way to unwrap the gift of love this Christmas is to, and it's so, we make it so complicated and so complicated. Just accept the fact that he adores you, that he loves you, that he's for you, and you don't have to do anything to earn it. You remember from our series, What on Earth Am I Here For? We're called to be loved by God, period. Isn't that good news? Amen. Accept his love. Turn to somebody and say, accept his love. Number two, we're going to experience his love. All right, this again, so I know who I'm talking to. If you're here and you would agree with me that sometimes in this life, it's very easy to get distracted. Is that true? Okay, I think we would all agree with that, that sometimes it's easy to lose focus on what we know is important. It's easy to take our eyes off the prize. If it's easy to get distracted. Okay, just so I know who I'm talking to, if you're here and you would say it's easy to worry. Just being open and honest and transparent, God is teaching Pastor Dwayne a lot about worry. And I'm not enjoying it. It's not comfortable. But it's easy to worry, isn't it? It's easy to get caught up in the stuff of life. It's easy to get caught up in the stuff that cause you care and concern. Is it easy, just so I know who I'm talking to be overwhelmed? Yeah. I shared this passage with our worship team in the prayer room. And this is one of those life verses for me. And it became that way because as a teenager, just giving my heart to the Lord, I didn't grow up in church. As a teenager, just giving my heart to the Lord, I had this distorted, crazy view about who God was. That he was somehow angry with me. And that he was this taskmaster whose love I had to deserve and earn. And I don't know if this will resonate with anybody, but I never felt like I measured up. I never felt like I was quite good enough. Never felt like I was quite holy enough. Never felt like I had my act together enough for God to love me. And then this passage of Scripture began to get just pounded into my heart by my youth pastor. And it's Romans chapter 8, 38 and 39. And it says this, "For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." There's nothing I could do to earn it. There's nothing I can do to lose it. I was listening to a pastor, and he said it this way. He said, "That verse tells you that the only thing that can cause God to stop loving you is sin." It ain't there. Now, I'm not condoning sin. You guys that come all the time, you know me well enough. I'm not condoning sin. I'm telling you, there's nothing you can do to stop him from loving you. There's nothing that can separate you from the love of God. There's nothing you can do. There's no place you can go. It says height, depth, powers, demons. Nothing can separate you from the love of God. In fact, if you read this passage in the King James Version, it says it like this, "For I am persuaded that there's nothing to separate me from the love of God. So I want you to experience His love. See, this is not a cheesy, sappy, Hallmark Christmas movie love. It's a life-changing, world-changing, season-changing, circumstance-changing love. But in order for you to understand it, you must first experience it. And there's a difference between accepting it and experiencing it. Can I explain the difference? Once again, I'm going to tell you how I got in trouble. Okay? Don and I were going out. We had an appointment this past Friday night. And it was, as you know, it got a little chilly this past week, at the end of last week, right? Got a little chilly. She said, why don't you, you know, make sure you wear a jacket, because I'm 12. Make sure you wear a jacket. Make sure you wear a jacket. And she said, in fact, why don't you wear the jacket I gave you for Christmas last year? Guys, I'm going to tell you what the wrong answer is. The wrong answer is, what jacket? I'll pause while you guys choose a side. Yes, she said, what do you mean, what jacket? That very nice gray jacket that I bought you. In fact, Donna, bring it up here to me. In fact, would you help? You love me, don't you? Will you help me put it on?
Sure, I usually do anyway. would
you quietly help me put it on? There we go. And so, yep. And so I put my jacket on. After you went and found it. The right answer is, when she says, why don't you wear that jacket, is, okay. Would you mind getting it for me? That's the right answer. I know that now. Okay, so here's the deal. I accepted this jacket on Christmas Day, 2015. And I hung it in a closet, and it's done nothing for me from that day. This past Friday night, I put it on, and I experienced it. Can I tell you, I want you to listen to me, and I know this is a silly little deal, but I want this to speak to your heart, because I can't tell you how many people I talk to that gives me their I used to be testimony. I used to go to church. I used to love God. I used to teach Sunday school. I used to go on mission trips. I used to be active in my church. You know what you've done? You've taken the love of God and you put it in a closet. And I'm telling you, the only way you're really going to experience the love of God is to pull it out of the closet, put it on, and experience it day after day after day. God's love is our lifeblood. Amen. Okay, it's hot, so I'm taking this off. So we're going to accept His love. We're going to experience His love. We're not just going to accept it and put it in a closet. You with me? We're going to live it day after day after day after day. We're going to accept it. We're going to experience, and then we're going to share it. How many know when you're in love, it shows? Hard to hide that, isn't it? I'm going to completely embarrass my son. So, Mikey has always been a very unique dude. Why are they laughing? I don't know. And especially when it came to dating and girls and stuff, because it was very closed. He wouldn't tell us a whole lot about the girls he was interested in. And I would hear a particular girl's name, and I'd say, well, tell me about so-and-so. And these were the words every time. She's cool. She's cool. End of conversation. And I'd always, I had one question I always asked. She loved Jesus? Yes, Dad. Well, on vacation last year, I started hearing a name I hadn't heard before. 2015. Vacation 2015. Her name was Kelly. And he's like, I met her, you know, she works with me, and he started telling about her, and she laughs, she thinks I'm funny, and I'm like, marry her. And he's like, and there were no shells on the beach that year. You know, nothing to speak of anyway. He's like, can we go to a surf shop? I was like, why? He said, I promised Kelly I'd bring her back a shell. And I went, what? Oh, okay. Whatever. And then we start hearing her name over and over and over again. And then we started seeing her show up at our house. And I started watching him do things he has never done before. And then one day in the spring, Mikey's funny because he had this, you know, I got something I want to say to you, Dad, but I'm not really sure how I'm going to say it. And it was the whole deal when he told us he wanted to propose to Kelly on our vacation. So I called Matt and I was like, I think your brother's going to propose to Kelly at Disney World. And he went, my brother. And I said, yes, at Disney World. I said, yes, Mikey is going to propose at Disney World. Yes, Matt. I can't believe it. I said, all right. And so this guy who was so quiet about his romantic affairs did this last. Yeah, I couldn't believe it either. What you don't know is, you know where that's at? That's at Epcot. Who's been to Epcot? That's France. He proposed to her in front of the Eiffel Tower. So my son became a cheesy Hallmark movie. Because when you're in love, you're not ashamed of it. When you're in love, it doesn't matter who knows it. It doesn't matter where you're at. Now stop, I'm going somewhere now. It doesn't matter where you're at. Now, how many of you grew up in the South? How many of you have ever seen somebody's girlfriend's name painted on a water tower? It's a real thing. First John 4 and 9, this is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Listen, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son, an atoning sacrifice for our sin. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we ought to love one another. See, if I'm truly in love with God, it'll change how I treat you. If I'm truly in love with God, it'll change how I treat people I don't like. If I'm truly in love with God, my greatest goal in life will be to share the love of God with people I come in contact with. That my primary purpose in this world is to share God's love and to share the fact that he really came. God's love comes to us, flows through us. God's love comes to us and flows through us. And so if I were to go around the room this morning, I could probably find a bunch of people that would say that maybe this year had been tough. This year had been financially difficult, relationally difficult. There had been some stuff going on in your world that would make this Christmas season maybe a little bit difficult. Can I tell you the amazing thing about God's love? The more you give it, the more you experience it. I can't explain it. It's just the way it works. The more you share God's love, the more He pours His love on you. So I'm going to challenge you today to do those three things. To accept His love. To experience His love. And to share His love. We have a goofy tradition at my house. It's not at my house, it's in my family. Just so I know, anybody have weird Christmas traditions in your extended family, your family? Me and Wes, that's pretty much it. Cheers, brother. I just said cheers from the pulpit. We have this weird tradition. We have this weird tradition that started when I was about 8 years old. And at my, you know, family, extended family Christmas party, the first time I received this gift, I was broken because, you know how kids are at Christmas time. You get your present, you're diving in, you want all, you know. And so I opened this present from my Uncle George. If this wasn't on Facebook Live, I would say my crazy Uncle George. And I open it, and it is this nasty, tacky, 30-year-old, 40-year-old work shirt, tattered and torn with some goofy tie on it. And I opened it, and I'm like, this is my present. And I got mad, and I started to throw it in the fireplace because I was showing my little 8-year-old temper. I was like, and just as I did, they said, no, stop. And there's money always in the front pocket. So it's a real gift. It's just kind of, and see, isn't that funny? Ha, ha, ha. And so from that day till now, we still pass that around. We, you know, it shows up every, not even every year, but every so often somebody get, oh, okay, ha, ha, ha. There better be some money in the front pocket or just going in the fireplace. So here's how that works is you get the gift. And you hang on to it for a while. And then what do? You give it away. See, that's, I want you to remember the love of God by Dwayne's tacky work shirt story. You take it. And you hold on to it. But then you give it away. You accept it. You experience it. And then you share it. In fact, I'll give you this to kind of help you remember it. The love of Christ. You might want to write this down. Find it, hold it, give it away. Find it, accept it, experience it, hold it, and then give it away. Now, you can give it away to somebody you love very much. You can give it away to somebody that waits on your table at lunch today. You can give it away. I'm going to tell you a great way you could give it away is to take one of those gift cards back there. Fill it and bring it back so we can bless a family that doesn't have what you have. That's a great way for you to share it. So how do we take this home? Here we go. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to do this. I want you to find a way to reclaim God's love. And this is especially for those of you that might say, you know what, Dwayne, it's been a while since I recognized and understood God's love in my own life. I would just challenge you to do this, to just look around you. Because if you'll ask God to reveal His love to you, I promise you He will. It may come in the strangest of ways. It may come in a smile of a child, the hug of a spouse. It may come in the strangest of ways. But if you'll ask God to reveal Himself and His love to you, I promise you He will. So take this season to reclaim God's love. And I want you to take this season to recognize God's love. Stop long enough. Pause long enough in this season to say, thank you, Father, for your great gift. Stop long enough this season in the midst of all the shopping and the parties and the family get-togethers, and we all do them, and they're all fun, and I get it. But in the midst of all that, stop long enough to recognize God's love. And I'm going to give you, I would just recommend you do this. And you don't have to, But I'm going to tell you one way we do that at the Lighthouse on Christmas morning. Open your Bible. Before you open the present, before you get excited about the new Xbox 990 or whatever's under the tree, and read Luke chapter 2, read the Christmas story to your family. Well, my family's grown, so is mine, and we're going to read it Christmas morning to whoever's there. And before we tear into those presents and do all that we do and dive into the ham and all the stuff that we do, we're going to read the Christmas story. We're going to pray together and recognize the fact that God loved this world so much that he sent his one and only son. Here's another great way you could do that this year. Come to either the Christmas Eve service or Christmas morning. Now, I get it. I know we're so busy. But here's the place, and I talk to pastors all around the world, and here's the deal. It's now inconvenient for Christmas to fall on a Sunday. It's quite true. Those churches that happen to be open on Christmas Day, that'll be one of the least attended services they have all year long this year. So I'm not trying to play the guilt game. Well, a little bit I am. I'm just saying we intentionally made two completely identical services, Christmas Eve, Christmas morning. I'm not telling you to come to both of them, but come to one of them. Invite somebody to one of them. So we're going to reclaim God's love. We're going to recognize God's love. And listen, what do you call it when you give me a gift and then I give it to somebody else? Regifting. Okay, honesty time. Who's ever done it? Come on. Oh, yeah. Come on. I'm not alone. One of y'all are getting a sweater. No, I'm just kidding. So we're gonna reclaim God's love. We're going to recognize God's love. And we're going to re-gift God's love. Donna's going to come. And we're gonna pray together. Would you bow your heads with me? Hey, I know you got a lot going on this year. I know you got a lot going on this Christmas. We're going to take the next couple of minutes and we're just going to pause. And we're going to thank God for his great love and his worship. And we're going to thank God for the worthiness of God for our worship. So we're going to pray and we're going to worship together. So would you bow your heads? I want to pray for you this morning. If you're here and you would say, Dwayne, it's been a tough year. And recognizing and accepting God's love, this season has been a little difficult. I've got a lot going on. I got a lot of distractions. I've got a lot of things that are overwhelming. I got a lot of things that I'm worrying about. If that's you, and I just want to pray for you. Just slip your hand up. Amen. Amen. A lot of hands. Amen. If you're here and, hey, listen, I don't play games when it comes to this stuff like this. If you've never accepted Christ into your life, if you've never asked Christ to be Lord of your life, the greatest way you can recognize the love of God is to let Jesus take over your life. So today will be a great day to do that. It wasn't an easy thing, but it's a simple process for you because Christ did all the work. See, the baby born in a manger spread his arms and died on a cross for your sins and for mine. And the miracle of Christmas is that the adult Christmas child that gave his life for us rose again 3 days later and is alive today. And you're not going to be able to wrap your head around this, so don't even try. But right now, listen to me. That baby born in a manger that gave his life, that rose again, is praying for you right now. Just let that sink in. And he's well aware of what you're walking through. So if you've never made that choice, then I'd strongly suggest. And it goes like this. Lord, I confess I've messed up, I've sinned, and I need your forgiveness. I believe in who you are. I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you died for my sins. And I believe you rose again. And I believe you're coming back. The Bible says if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, that God would forgive us of our sins, cleanse us from all of our unrighteousness. So I would challenge you to make that choice today. Maybe you're here and you're just overwhelmed by life. Hey, I get it. I told you God's teaching me a worry lesson this year. You know what I'm learning? And maybe you want to learn this lesson with me. I'm learning there's nothing so big that the God I serve can't handle. Nothing. I've never faced a problem bigger than the God I serve. I've never faced a circumstance bigger than the God I serve. And I would say the same for you. Whatever you're walking through, it seems big, doesn't it? It's overwhelming. It's huge. God's bigger. You don't understand the hurt, Dwayne. God's bigger than that hurt. You don't understand the betrayal. You don't understand the frustration. You don't understand how bad things are financially and relationally. God's bigger. Period. So, Lord, we love you. God, I thank you for who you are in this place. God, I sense your presence. God, we asked you hours ago to change lives in this room, and we believe you're doing that even now. God, you're changing some perspectives. You're changing some outlooks. God, you're turning some worry into faith this morning. You're turning some problems into a possibility today. So God, I thank you that you're doing a great work in the lives of us today. God, help us as individuals and as a congregation to accept your love, to put it on, to experience it, and to give it away, to share it with those around us. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Lord. Hey, before we go on, I just want you to take a moment to just worship the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We worship you, Jesus. We worship you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus.